Welcome to Bubba's Beach Podcast, number 18. I've never been a very crafty person, in every sense of the word. For one thing, I'm a terrible liar. I shuffle my feet, swivel my eyes like Charlie Chaplin, and turn a few shades deeper pink. Even my daughters could read me like Pat the Cat by the time they were 5. They continued to pretend to believe in Santa and the Easter Bunny because they didn't want to spoil the fun for their grandparents. I've also never been very good at crafts. This may be partly my mother's fault. I would bring home the cliché soup can covered in macaroni and glitter pencil holder, and my enraptured mom would look at me with wonder in her eyes, mostly at where she could put the damn thing until I forgot I'd made it. She'd always bank on my guppy-length attention span. "Mom, your pencil holder's under the sink, and someone's put bacon grease in it." "What are you doing under the sink, dear?" "I was looking for gum. Anne said you kept it under the sink." "Ah, well, that was last week. There's no gum there now, dear. But I think I have a piece in my purse. I'll get it while you go tell your big sister I'd like to have a chat with her." And off I'd swim through the castle, past the treasure chest, and on to my sister's room with visions of cinnamon and lint-flavored dentine dancing in my head. Now, before you think my mother a heartless woman, you really should know that there was, in all likelihood, less than 2 pieces of macaroni on the soup can, and more glitter on my shirt than on the pencil holder. Yes, a mother's heart should melt anyway, and I'm sure hers did. But the object was needed for a culinary rather than a stationary purpose. What did she need a pencil holder for? Like most women of that time, she kept everything in her purse, including pencils, gum, old bus transfers, broken-off bits of lipstick, and a selection of pennies minted between 1935 to 1960. I never got the knack of most domestic arts, except for cooking. In home ec, the teacher would watch me struggle with whatever sewing project she'd assigned, and finally intercede on behalf of the defenseless sewing machine. She would use my apron, or blouse, or potholder to demonstrate the various intricacies of seams, hems, zippers, and decorative stitching. It was thanks to her my home ec projects got such great marks. My abilities at handicrafts haven't improved much over the years. There was the day my dearest surprised me with a sewing machine, a basic model that flipped down to make a small table. He was very pleased with the deal he'd got, and so close to my birthday. I was pleased to have just the right size table for a fern I'd bought the day before. Another of those, and that was when we knew the honeymoon was over, moments. Having come from a household where his mother sewed everything from the curtains to grad dresses, and his sisters could zigzag a hem before they could walk, it never occurred to him someone would be singer-challenged. I was never so hopeless as to actually sew myself to anything, but that's only because I'd have the damn thing jammed, thread in knots, needle snapped off, and the motor smoking before I'd even put the little fabric holder thingy down. I don't feel any pressure to take up the dark arts now. I have a sister-in-law that can knit a tent, cover it in needlework, and install one of her stained glass windows over the entrance flap. Socks, scarves, sweaters, intricate beadwork, even the crocheted dishcloths in my kitchen drawer. My talented in-laws have made them all. When my girls buy clothes, they book Granny for the necessary alterations. Even my husband was the go-to guy for sewing craft badges on their brownie scarves. I'm not even going to begin to talk about the magic my father-in-law can work with wood or metal. Basically, you name it, my father-in-law can build it, my husband can fix it, and my mother-in-law can sew a slipcover for it, unless you'd prefer a beaded or inlaid glass finish to the whatnot. I think I've said more than enough to justify my feelings of inferiority without going on at any more length telling you why. On the other hand, there are drawbacks to living with the inspiration behind MacGyver. Like when the 100-year-old avocado Maytag washer finally packs it in, and visions of a new high-efficiency front-loading built sometime since the invention of detergent model starts dancing in my head. The light of my life rummages for a minute behind the washer, hums, and pulls out the defective widget, which he promptly repairs. My dream of owning something new hangs its head, casts one last look at my beaming love's proud face, and shuffles back to its game of gin rummy, along with the plans for a second bathroom and my Oscar acceptance speech. There is that moment when he comes back upstairs and proclaims the festival of laundry may begin again. That's when, no matter how eager I try to sound, my dearest can read in my face not only the lie, but the make and model of whatever it is I'm pretending I didn't really want anyway. Thank you for listening to the Baba's Beach Podcast. If you have any comments, please visit us at babasbeach.ca. That's babasbeach.ca. Today's music was courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network. You can find show notes and links at our website, babasbeach.ca.